a marathon, and as Fred said to me, he said, I'm going to read a book while they're gone. So he's the most sensible of the lot, I suppose. But that's where they are, and so we don't have them here. We don't have the ensemble of musicians here. We're going to revert to the old-fashioned stuff of really singing hymns. And no hers, only hymns. And we'll enjoy those in a few moments. Ruth Stutzman is getting better a little. She is not well. Keep praying for her, please. And hold her before the Lord. She has the good news, Merv told me, I think Friday, is that the tumor on her sternum is shrinking or has shrunk. So that's the good news. The bad news is she's still making a lot of fluid around her heart, and they're having to siphon that off. And she has a sort of semi-permanent catheter, I suppose, and they have a little tap on the side and it leaks out the fluids. You know what to do if you ever get water on the knee? Take a hammer and have a tap on the ankle, and that gets rid of the water on the knee. Same principle, but not quite as violent. So pray for Ruth and Merv. Merv has to cope with all of this, and Ruth has to suffer through it. So please be praying for them. There's some people here today. Will you identify yourself if I've got it right? Mother, tell me. They're from, oh yes, J.Q. Hunter's Church in Gladstone. Anybody? They didn't come. Okay. Whew. I don't have to worry about that. Well, we're glad all of you are here, and thank you for coming. We're going to open in prayer. Let's pray. Most gracious Father, we have the honor of addressing you as our Father in heaven. We have the privilege of knowing that you are the Father that never alters. That with you there's no shadow of turning, no variableness, nothing. In fact, you are always the same today and forever. You're the one that was, is, and will be. And we thank you that you're eternal in the heavens, never changing, always our God. We come in front of you and we lay before you the dear people of this congregation who are ill, whose pains are massive, whose apprehensions are frightening. And we ask that you will be with them. Give them peace in their hearts, joy in their souls, and contentment that in all things they may be content. For us, Lord, that's jolly difficult. We find it difficult to be able to say, I am content. But we know that you are not willing that any of us should suffer beyond more than we're able. So will you give us that necessary patience? Will you grant to us that necessary comprehension? And will you pour into us that necessary love that we may love as you love? Lord, here we see through a glass darkly. We look forward to the day when we shall see face to face. Here is the reflection of the mirror. But then we shall know as we are known, and we look forward to that when we shall stand with you, our Lord and our God. Now do thou bless this time, please, as we share in the word and we share around the communion table. And we ask for your blessings, please, Lord, on everyone here. And we ask it in Jesus' name, for his sake. Amen. Table once a month. We do so to remember that Jesus, Saviour, Jesus, the creator of the ends of the earth, Jesus, our dearest friend, this Jesus is ours, our Savior, our Lord, and our Master. It's a great privilege to be able to sit together and share this love feast. But I'm quite sure that in different churches, they do things differently. And it may be that we've got into a rut, or we don't do it the same way other churches do this. That can change and will, I expect. But just bear with us. And if you don't care to fellowship in this for some reason that is yours, theological, then just let the cup pass by you and let the bread pass by you. Nobody will be offended. Don't you be offended with us. Let there be a unity of the Spirit of the Lord Jesus. Now, Jesus said, when you get together, remember me. One of the things I have difficulty of doing is remembering. And as I'm getting older, the memory or the remembering part is a little worse than it used to be. I still have a daughter, but she's not mine anymore. She belongs to the chap that married her. But this girl of mine, this youngest daughter, was one of the greatest helps I've ever had. She would stand beside me at the door when people were going out and I was shaking hands, and she would say, "This is Mrs. Smith." And that's not her husband, so don't say, "Oh, husband and wife." "This is Charlie Brown." Not you. "But this is Charlie Brown, and he's with his wife." And she would whisper things like that to me. "Today, it's their eldest daughter's birthday." Or yesterday, their child was taken to the hospital. She'd whisper all sorts of things to me, standing beside me here on this side. And I would be able to say, "Hello, Mrs. Smith. It's nice to meet you. I'm glad you came." And people were surprised that I knew their names. I was surprised too. The mistakes we make as pastors are assuming in this generation that people are married to the person, and that we know that Mrs. Smith surely has a Mr. Smith, and the fellow that's with her, we say, "Hello, Mrs. Smith." "Hello, Mr. Smith." "I'm not Mr. Smith, I'm Mr. Jones." "Oh, yeah." And then you're embarrassed, and he's embarrassed, and he's never going to come again because you insulted him at the doorstep of the church and all sorts of silly things. So I had a great helper there. And so I don't forget. Children's church is now. If you want to gallop out, try not to tread on your parents on the way, and gallop out to the children's church. Thank you. The importance of us spending time together is to remember that Jesus was the fulfillment of the law. We have forgotten this a great deal of the time. We seem to think that Jesus, because he is Savior, look what he did for me. Well, he did, but that's not all he did. Jesus fulfilled the law. For instance, if you go into Leviticus, you discover in the book of Leviticus how it is that the altar was laid out. And there were actually three stations. And as the people came, they brought their sacrifice. And they brought their sacrifice for sin. One of the things that you and I do not have to do is bring a sin offering. The sin offering was various. And it's interesting to discover in Leviticus, and I think there's only one place it tells us this, and the discovery is this, that it had to be a she-goat, a female goat. And the goat was to be sacrificed. The blood, by the way, at the veil of the in front of the veil of the temple would splash up on the veil. And the priest never had clean clothes, it seems, because he was always cutting the throats of lambs and of goats and of pigeons and so on. And these various sacrifices were blood sacrifices. Now, I don't want to dwell overly on this, but I want you to remember that when Jesus shed his blood, he poured out, says the Bible, poured out his soul unto death. Life is in the blood. So when you have an accident, one of the first things people want to do is stop the blood flow so that they can seal off the loss of life. That isn't always possible, of course. But Jesus deliberately had his body shredded, if that's not too vulgar a word, so that the blood would flow very freely. Ever cut your hand? I had a motorcycle accident 100 years ago, it seems now, and this thumb was laying down on my wrist. And the blood was squirting up in the air. Oh, I thought, better do something about that. And I pressed on the artery, and I still got my thumb, and it even works. Blood flows from the hands very freely. Ever cut your head? If you're balding, you men, some of us are balding. Hit your head. Blood is everywhere. A boxer gets clouted in the eye, and if you noticed, it'll split on the frame of the skull and underneath on the cheekbone, and it will split open and it bleeds prolifically. You notice that? You noticed the church in Le Grand was pulling down the old church. Oh, I went down there with the men, and I had a 16-pound hammer, and I was helping break up concrete. Step backwards, and there was a big plank of wood with a massive nail in it, and I stepped right on the peak of that nail. It went through my boot, through my foot, and through the top of my boot. And I stood there thinking, how do I get this thing off? And I yelled at a couple of the fellows. I said, look at this. I can carry the plank on my foot. And they laughed just like you are. So I thought, well, I'm not getting any sympathy here. Trod on the plank, pulled my foot off. Oof. And the blood did flow. Why am I being so gory? Have you ever cut into your back? In February, when they cut into my back again, there was a whole lot of blood, and it flowed easily. When Jesus was put upon the cross, now, I know you can argue that he was crucified by having the spikes put through his wrists, because that way he'd bleed quickly. If that would have happened, the wrist bones would have been broken. But his hand, your hand, has a web in it so strong that you can hang from a nail if it goes through your hand, through the palm of your hand. And it will bleed. And they pounded these spikes through his hands, I believe, because Jesus showed to Thomas his hands and his feet, not his wrists and his ankles. Important, I believe. And they rammed this spike through his feet. They may have put one foot on top of the other and using a longer spike. They may have just banged both feet with a spike each. The whole exercise was to pour blood. Now they'd taken their fists and they'd hit him in the face, and they had smashed his lips, his eyes, his eyebrows were bruised, and there was so much carnage in his face, he didn't look like a male or a female, says one writer. He was just, his face was so distorted, they pulled his beard out. Now you've got a lovely beard. Can I pull a tuft out? No. See? But I want a trophy. See? And this dear fellow, he doesn't mean to tug on that. When you have babies around you, they love to swing on them. I had babies that wanted to swing on my moustache. It's not big enough to swing on, but it's jolly painful when they manage it. Miriam asked me the other day, she said, how do you get that moustache to curl at the ends? My answer was, I don't know. And I really don't. I comb it out so it goes straight. And minutes later, he's doink, and he's back again. So, I don't know how that works, but the beard of Jesus was pulled out in great tufts all over his face. And so his face was swollen. His eyes were very likely closed. His mouth was all ripped to pieces so that blood would flow. You can understand the crown of thorns. You have to go, and we've got some of these, nearly these thorns in some prairie areas in this country, but in around Palestine, around Jerusalem, these things have, they have thorns on them bigger than my little finger. They are massive. And they braided this crown of thorns. They jammed it on his head and it ripped. Ever cut anywhere up here on your face or your kids? A man took me home one day. I was bleeding like a stuck pig. I'd got a terrible rip up here. And he said to my mother, is this your child? And she looked and she said, oh. My great aunt, who was standing behind us, said, oh, yes, he is, and ran upstairs. Didn't want to see me. Blood was every which way. Ever catch yourself there? Oh. Now let's take this body of Jesus and let's lay. There's two ways he could have been crucified. I'll agree to that. The cross could have been already in the excavated position, and it could already be standing up as a cross as we know it. Or they could have laid him on the cross on the ground, which makes more sense, and then lifted him up, maybe with a pulley or just sheer brute force. Those men were very strong. They were all soldiers. They could wield a 12 to 16 pound sword. They carried a 20 pound shield, and these were tough men. They were no sissies, and they were strong. They were Arnold Schwarzenegger types. But whichever way they did it, now the wood of the cross, those of you that like playing with wood, I love to make things with wood. I haven't done it for years, but I like making things with wood. But when you take a jack plane and you plane a long plank flat, of course today we're so wonderfully blessed we can just stick it in a machine and it planes it flat. But when you, in the old days, we'd take a jack plane, which would maybe this long, and we would work that plane. And the trick of that was to make sure you kept it on the wood and you shaved it until it was level, flat, and straight. But these timbers that they used were unplaned, so that when a person was laid upon that awful gibbet, all those fingers, splinters we call them, were jammed into the back of the person. Now, I've drawn you a terrible picture. But so that the blood would flow, Jesus was elevated and hung between earth and heaven, and his blood flowed out, down and out. And Jesus said, I want you to remember me. I want you to remember this. And we don't care to do that sometimes. Jesus, to some of us, is sort of a safe pass into heaven, an insurance card that will allow me to have immediate service when I get to the gates of heaven. And I shall say, as I say to the medical profession here, I have clear choice and I have my medical card, and so I give you $15 or $25, whichever they demand the most, and I'm in, fix me. And we seem to think that that's who Jesus is, and that is not who he is. He is love, the expression of God's love to us, in that while we were yet sinners, lost and helpless and couldn't save ourselves in any way, Jesus died for our sin. Yesterday was an interesting day. It started off with the men's breakfast, and I spoke there, and usually everybody dissipates and runs away. But yesterday was a little different. The first time in the time that I've spent in this church, it was fantastic. Some of the fellas stayed around, and we got into discussing sin and the payment of it and repentance and how we ought to be repenting. One man said something like this. This isn't an exact quote, but it's very close. We Christians should repent of sins we commit. And then he said, we should ask God for forgiveness. And I said, no. Look at the first epistle of John, the first chapter of the first epistle of John, and read it carefully. We are to confess our sins, not ask for forgiveness. Forgiveness is there. The blood has been shed. The sacrifice has been made. It's done. The hymn writer said, tis done. The great transaction's done. I am my Lord's and he is mine forever and forever. Wow. How? Because he shed his blood. Jesus said, I want you to remember me. Do you remember Jesus? Do you remember Jesus? Please, get your thinking cap on. Never mind all the pictures you've seen of the wishful thinking of some silly artist. Answer the simple question. Can you see Jesus in your heart? With your imagination, but mostly by the bearing of your soul. Listen to Isaiah. He says, woe is me. I'm a man of unclean lips and an impure heart. There was a man, said Jesus, he was a sinning type of fellow. He hadn't really come to know Jesus as his Savior. And he came to pray, and he would not so much as lift up his eyes to heaven, but he smote his breast and he said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And Jesus said, he went away saved. I'm using a modern word, but he went away saved rather than all these righteous people spouting their self-righteous prayers, referring to the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Can I ask you, can you imagine Jesus when he dealt with your sin? Now he did, didn't he? He did. So many of you say you're born again, and I believe you. But you have to remember Jesus. Since I've been here, I have deliberately put a lot of emphasis on this time together, because I want you not to remember the preacher. I want you to remember Jesus. I don't care if you don't remember me. I want you to remember Jesus. He is Son of the living God. And I want you to remember his blood poured out. His blood poured out. Did a thing yesterday in the garage. I looked at my stash of windshield washer fluid, and I was amazed. I got this pot about this big, and it was twisted about 45 degrees. It's got two twists in it. How did that happen? And it wasn't full. Well, I'd never used it. And I looked, couldn't work it out. Looked again, and I took it down off the shelf, and there was a drip going, drip, drip, drip. Oh. So I thought, well, I'll use some of it. Didn't need to, but I thought I might. So I thought I'd take the top off. So I took the top off, and it was sealed, and I took the seal off. And immediately there was a flow of whatever it was, because now I'd released the pressure. And the reason it was twisted was because of the enormous pressure inside that bottle, and it was only dripping. Now it was all over the place. I had to clean the floor. I had to clean some tools it went into and all that sort of thing. And I ran into the house. Rini, please. Have you got a milk bottle? What do you want a milk bottle for? Never mind, I needed a milk bottle. So she poured the milk out of the jug and into jugs or whatever she did with it and gave me the milk bottle. So I went tearing out to the garage. And you know, by the time I got out there, there was less than a third of that pot of windshield wiping fluid. Oh, you say, what a terrible thing to tell us when you're so serious about the blood of Jesus. Well, you see, it's not just the drip, 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 drip. It's the pour. It's the pour. It's the pouring out. It's the pouring out. The wasting out. In Jerusalem, I went around some of the places around Bethlehem, and I thought, as I looked at an old house with a window frame or a door frame or a door and whatever else, and I thought, I wonder, did Jesus and Joseph make that frame? Because some of the buildings are more than 2,000 years old. And I, don't tell anybody I did this, I touched the frame, which is a foolish thing. I just touched it. Did Joseph do that planing? Did Jesus do that connecting? They didn't have tongue and grooves, but did they put this together? I've wondered about that. Important to know Jesus. Can you remember Jesus? Will you remember Jesus? Will you bring him to mind? Will you focus in on Jesus? Listen to this. You've heard it so many times. But I want you to hear it again. I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he said, take, eat. This is my body broken for you. This do to remember me by, in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant or testament in my blood. This do as ye often as ye drink it in remembrance of me, for as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he come." Isn't that lovely? And then he goes on and says, we need to examine ourselves. And if we can't remember Jesus, think again. Examine yourself. Let's bow in prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, thank you. Thank you for giving us this photo memory. Thank you for allowing us to think on these things that are so vital. And we pray that you will breathe upon us now. As we take this cup and we take this bread, help us to remember that we are showing the Lord's death until he come. And we are remembering. Jolt our memories, Lord, please. That Jesus may have preeminence in our experience. And we ask it for his sake. Amen. It was singing so beautifully. Most gracious Father, dismiss us with your blessing. Tune our hearts to sing your praise. And as we leave this place this day, make these very special moments powerful in our memory. Soak us with that precious grace. Help us to be like sponges, that we may soak up the grace of God, which is greater far than any tongue or pen can tell. Bless now every man, woman, and child in this place so much that we will say and whisper amongst ourselves, "It is the Lord." We do thank you. We do praise you. We do worship and adore you, for you're altogether lovely. And as we contemplate the beauty of your holiness and your resurrection and your massive power to do exceeding abundantly above anything we can ask or think, Lord, bless us, please. For we ask it all in that precious holy name that's above every name, the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you for being here today. I hope your hearts are blessed and your soul is stirred. And I hope that God will bless you and keep you. Thank you.